Thanks, James. That's right. Liberty Eagle football is just around the corner, but I've got Double H Harlan Hutchison here with me. And, you know, there's two teams, as James had mentioned earlier, that is still competing, and they're both in Howe County. You got the big school, the West Plains Zizzers, and the little school, the Liberty Eagles. Harlan, you know, we talked earlier about expectations for both these teams and where they might be. I think both coaches probably pretty pleased with where they're at right now. If you would have asked them, you know, prior to week one, would you be satisfied making it to a district championship game?
Well, there's not many teams playing right now. With these last two teams, the expectations when the year started, I don't think were real clear. I think that as far as West Plains is concerned, we were thinking, obviously, that we weren't going to be as good as we have been maybe the past couple of years, but have been, you know, good enough to be competitive in most of the ball games. Branson was probably the exception there, and maybe a portion of the first game at Mountain Home. But by and large, I think that West Plains has had a pretty good year, all in all. They're going to find, though, tonight, and it gets harder each game from this point. You got the district championship game tonight at home against Bolivar, and Bolivar just kicked our tails the first time, 20-3.
Well, they were kind of just manhandled.
I'll tell you what it was like. It's like, I thought of this, I was watching TV there tonight, and I thought, what is it about Bolivar that kind of makes me want to, I'll tell you, and I finally thought of what it was. If you went back to 1976, 75, 76, mid-70s, late 70s, and you teleported a football team, a good football team from that era, that's what Bolivar is. They don't pass first, run second. They run first, and then, you know, they work their passing game off their running game. They've got a good quarterback, a really good running back, and their defense, I don't remember them ever being out of position the first time we played them. They had us scouted so well. It is going to be really hard for West Plains to move the ball against them.
Where, at what portions of the game in round one, where did West Plains have their success?
Well, a little bit of everything. West Plains can put together a pretty good offense and score some points if they don't turn the ball over. Against Bolivar the first time when they lost 20-3, they had 6 turnovers.
Ouch.
5 interceptions and a fumble. And that is, and I remember after the game thinking, I don't know when the last time I saw a West Plains team, at least in recent years, not score a touchdown in a game. That was really rare. Bolivar's good. They're not great, but they're just pretty solid.
Yeah, they're solid. And that, you know, now Liberty is, you know, we're up here going to be in Fair Grove taking on the number one team in the state in Class 2, the Fair Grove Eagles, and they've just cruised all season long. They had a little bit of a test, and I thought last week was a little bit of a trap game. You know, here comes Thayer, first being just bumped up to Class 2, and, you know, Thayer played like they had nothing to lose, and they kind of caught Fair Grove, I think, a little bit off guard. Now, I don't think that'll be the case tonight. You know, that was probably, that first half last Friday night was probably the best thing that could happen for Fair Grove's coach, because now he had ammunition. I think Fair Grove's going to come out on fire. Not that Liberty can't win. I mean, it's an uphill battle. It's going to be a massive uphill battle. But, you know, playing Fair Grove, they got a really good quarterback. They got a great running back. They're loaded. I mean, all across the board, great at the line of scrimmage. They're number one in the state for a reason. And, you know, how Liberty approaches this offensively and defensively it's going to be tough.
I think most districts are kind of in the same boat. In most districts, you have a dominant team. Then you have usually a pretty good team. So you got three levels. If you're in the districts and you're the best team, you're going to play the weakest team first, and you're going to truck them. Mm-hmm. So you're going to beat them bad. Then you get to the second round, you go from playing the weak team to the average, maybe a little better than average team. And if in some cases, if you don't play well enough, you can get beat. But that's the game you're going to overlook, and you may not play as well. But when you get to the district championship game, you're not, you don't have something bigger just down the road playing for the district title. That game is for the district championship and a chance to go to the state playoffs. So teams normally, I would say, especially good teams like Fairgrove, don't overlook games like that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, they, and in recent years, they've been here. They've done that, you know, and Liberty as well has been there and done that, but it's been a little while. Well, Seneca, Brock Kennegy's first year when he took over for Darren, the Liberty Eagles won the district and they went on to play Seneca in the quarterfinals. And, you know, you really summed it up well. I mean, it's tough to win a district. You know, a lot of people get really caught up in the conference. Conference is great if you win it. Yeah, you get a trophy in your case, but what is it? It doesn't change or mean anything when it comes to making it to the state playoffs.
Well, but that's just been kind of the natural order of things here over the past several years. I don't know how far you want to go back, but maybe going as far back as the 90s, but the conference season has become meaningless. You're playing a schedule of games to establish a record to get to the district and play in the postseason. That's what has come down, which is sad because it used to be kind of a big deal if you won your conference.
Yeah.
But not so much anymore.
Well, you know, going back, let's do a little history here. What are some of the, let's go to your era, the 70s. What's some of the really the better teams that you would put, you know, on a list in the 70s of high school football? I'm sure one of the Panther teams with Dave Williams at the quarterback position playing for his dad would probably been a really good team.
Sure.
Out of the 70s. The Zizzers had some decent teams in the early 70s, but is there any teams that really just pop out to you?
A little bit. You mentioned David Williams. David Williams, I've said this my entire life. I saw David play high school football at Mountain Grove. I saw him play in a game in 1969. And he is the best to this day. Mm-hmm. I was 10 years old at the time. He is to this day the best high school quarterback I've ever seen around here.
Yeah.
He was that good. That's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. He was really that good. Those Mountain Grove teams were good. And they played their championship games, I think, at Busch Stadium when they got to the state championship. Mountain Grove was really good early 70s. The Houston Tigers were really loaded in the first half of that decade. Between, say, 72 and 75.
Really?
They were really good. Houston won a lot of football games. Then Ava had some good teams mid to late 70s. And right about that time is when Salem started picking up in the late 70s.
Yep.
Coach Walsh was there before Shewcart was. But then when Shewcart came, the whole thing just transformed.
Yeah.
And they had the Howard kid playing quarterback and had all those good, big, strong football players. And that's when the conference got introduced to the wishbone. And it was not a lot of fun back in those days. But those are some of the better teams.
Do you remember the T-shirts back in the day? I remember them from the 80s that the Salem fans would wear, choke on the bone.
No.
Yeah, that was always...
I was always in the booth. I never saw what people were wearing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and now for me, you know, you get into the 90s as well. You know, Salem, Willow Springs went on a really good run, had some epic battles as well. And then, you know, the 2000s, Mountain Grove kind of went on a run. But how about them there Bobcats? You know, I think people tend to kind of forget the run that Thayer went on. I mean, making it to multiple state championship games, losing one by just missing a field goal. It was really tough. But Billy Weber, what he did at Thayer, the 1A school, and the run they went on should be very notable.
Billy Weber is one of the best coaches in Missouri high school football history. Mm-hmm. He is. I will argue that with anybody. Because you go back far enough, we're talking about previous decades, you go back to the 60s, 70s, there was a long time when Thayer was not very good. I mean, I'm not talking about just having a down year. I'm talking about, but then about the years from Paige Belongi, Steve Airey. And those guys came along. They really helped lift it up. But Billy Weber, Coach Meek was coaching back in those days. But then the mantle was picked up by Billy Weber, and he took it and ran with it. What a great, great coach he is.
Yeah, and then, you know, Liberty. When they, of course, we talked about Dave Williams, and God rest his soul. We miss him each and every day. But Coach Williams went on to have quite a bit of success in the coaching career. But he was at Mountain View. Liberty was 0-7, district. They win the district.
That didn't happen very much.
1992, and made it and ended up losing to Warsaw. But, you know, and then Coach Ackland came along, and he transformed Liberty football because Liberty just never had won very much.
We always looked at Liberty back in the early days. We always looked at Liberty as a basketball school.
Yeah.
And they were, and they had some very good basketball teams. But, you know, Coach Ackland really deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he did something that nobody else had done. Well, Darren started it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did something no one else was able to do. And he did a very, really good job. He won a lot of games.
He won a lot of games, a lot of conference championships, a lot of districts. And you know, the obstacle that was in Coach Darren Ackland's way was a little team called Lamar.
Well, Lamar has kind of come back to earth a little bit. I don't think they're quite what they used to be.
They're playing for a district championship.
Well, let's...
They're not right. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But, you know, Lamar is just one of those teams. You would... They say that it's harder... Once you get to the top, it's harder to stay there than to get there. Someone needs to tell teams like Lamar and Webb City and Carthage and, you know, some of these teams that because they didn't get the memo.
Valley Catholic.
What an unbelievable string of seasons Webb City and Lamar and those teams have put together. So the most dominant football in the state of Missouri is south of Jeff City. I think there's no doubt about that. Until you get to the high classifications, then you run into people like St. Dominic's and people like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here it is. It's district championship Friday night, folks. Harlan, thanks so much for, you know, helping us here on this pregame. And of course, you know, the Zizzers will be over on Hot Country KDY 102.5. We're going to be bringing you the Liberty Eagles here in just a bit, right here on the Fox 96.9.